Bobby Moore, The Man in Full, by Matt Dickinson. Read by Colin Mace. Prologue. On a pedestal. Many footballers become heroes. Quite a few are called legends. What fascinated me gazing up at Bobby Moore on his plinth outside Wembley was how he came to be English football's only saint. Moore stands on a pedestal all of his own, though that was not always the plan. In the months following Sir Ralph Ramsay's death, as they considered ideas for the new Wembley, the FA discussed erecting a statue of Moore and Ramsay as they were on the pitch in 1966, captain passing the Jules Rimet trophy to his reluctant manager. By the time it came to the unveiling, Moore was the sole focus, and it was not a scene from the World Cup final that he represented. The statue is not an action pose, or a triumphalist one. It does not capture a moment in history. Moore stands, arms crossed, left foot on the ball, in a timeless image of leadership and heroism. At 12 feet high, twice life size, he is awesomely imposing, with the sort of hulking thighs and calves you normally see drawn on superheroes. Standing sentinel outside the National Stadium, the statue shows an Adonis, a man-god exuding an aura of absolute self-certainty and control. On match day, the crowds gather at Moore's feet and read the inscription. Immaculate footballer, imperial defender, immortal hero of 1966. First Englishman to raise the World Cup aloft. Favourite son of London's East End. Finest legend of West Ham United. National treasure. Master of Wembley. Lord of the game. Captain extraordinary. Gentleman of all time. It is enough to make you wonder if, in sculpting Moore so beautifully out of 2 tons of bronze, Philip Jackson forgot to add a halo. It was walking past that statue, reading the extravagant tribute, that I began to wonder how Moore came to be so revered. The adoration went way beyond his unique accomplishment as the only Englishman to lift the World Cup, the high point of English sport. In the New Statesman, Jason Cowley wrote of the cult of Moore, which has arisen since his death in 1993. National treasure, gentleman of all time. Moore has become an idol. In a world where we incessantly question our footballers' characters, asking if they want it enough, if they are suitable role models, picking over their love lives and salaries, passing judgment not just on their skills but their morals, Moore is held up as a figure beyond reproach, a man of almost superhuman virtue. After every indiscretion by an England player, we hear how Moore would be turning in his grave. It is almost enough to make you pity the modern star, not only doomed to World Cup failure, but forced to stand comparison to a paragon. The adoration shows no sign of diminishing. Indeed, it grows with every failure of the England team. And that began to nag at me. I started to store up questions. The type it can feel uncomfortable to ask, given how Moore is remembered. He is held up as a man without blemish, but could he really be that perfect? Could anyone? To me, the idyll seemed implausible. It wasn't that I thought the eulogies were untrue. Rather, I could not believe they represented the whole truth. There is chaos and complexity in every life. Shit happens, even to saints. I felt that doubt again, more acutely, on a radio show, when there were several of us, all football writers, discussing the England captaincy. Inevitably, Moore's name popped up. But, as we paid the familiar tributes, I was struck by how little we knew about him. We were passing down the approved, orthodox view, Moore the impeccable. But it felt as though we were describing a mythical figure, not a man of flesh and blood. We knew about the glories, but what of the adversities? I began to wonder what Moore had been through, what battles he had fought and hardships he had overcome. What was he like to play with, to confront, to share a beer with before he became a towering figure in bronze? It seemed I was not the only one who felt there was something missing in our knowledge and understanding of Bobby Moore, a need for fresh perspective. In an article for The Times, Matthew Syed wrote about our tendency to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?